Okay, we're going to do public hearings on 1195 and 1725 together. So we'll take up 1195 first, an act to provide that documents obtained by subpoena by the Government Oversight Committee may be reviewed by the committee members and staff. Presented by Senator Timberlake of Androscoggin.
Good afternoon, Senator Nangle, Representative Stover, distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee in the state and local government. I am Jeff Timberlake. I represent Senate District 17. I am here to present LD 1195, an act to provide documents that obtained by subpoena for the Government Oversight Committee and may be revised by committee members and staff. We are all familiar with the situation last year when the Government Oversight Committee voted to subpoena the Department of Health and Human Services for child protection records, then under advisement of the Maine Attorney General's Office, DHHS, was offered the files to the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability, who works for the Government Oversight Committee, but said the members of the committee were not allowed to review them. This decision was very surprising to me and other members of the GOC committee, which I serve on. This led to the committee voting to sue the Department of Health and Human Services to get access to the records for the committee members. To me, it only makes sense that the folks on the committee would have access to review the records which the committee has voted to subpoena. This bill makes it clear that the Government Oversight Committee has access to papers or records received as a result of the subpoena, and that those papers or records are exempt from public disclosure. Having access to these records will allow the committee to get the information they need to do their job. I see this being treated the same as an executive session type situation. You can't talk about things talked about in executive session, and you would not be able to talk about the records that you have received outside of the executive session. I know that Senator Hickman is coming up behind me with a bill very similar, and I don't expect this one's going to go on. I expect Senator Hickman's is the one that's going to move forward, and I don't really give care.
That wasn't the word you were going to use.
But well, probably not. But I caught myself halfway through it, so I done good. But I feel it is very important that this happens. I've served on the GOC committee for 6 years, and the past chair, Senator Libby, and I both agreed that this bill needed to come forward this year and be done. So, you know, if I had a D after my name, I'd be all right. But Senator Hickman's a really nice guy, so he can get credit. But anyway, welcome to answer any questions that I can, or I'll just go away.
Representative Stover.
Just a comment. I just wanted to say, Senator Timberlake, as the former House Chair of GOC, I also agree with you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. Any other questions for Senator Timberlake? Okay, seeing none. Are there any co-sponsors that want to speak to that? No. Okay. So now we'll take the presentation of LD 1725, an act to strengthen legislative oversight of government agencies and programs by providing the Government Oversight Committee access to confidential records, presented by Senator Hickman of Kennebec.
Good afternoon, Senator Nangle, Representative Stover, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on State and Local Government. My name is Craig Hickman, proud senator from District 14, 10 towns, and two cities in Southern Kennebec County, including my beloved hometown of Winthrop. I stand before you today to present LD 1725, an act to strengthen legislative oversight of government agencies and programs by providing the Government Oversight Committee access to confidential records. This bill was originally presented by Representative Arata, and we sort of switched sponsorships. She is here also as a member of the Government Oversight Committee to talk to you folks about why we believe this is necessary. First, I'll just read my proposed amendment to this bill into the record. The bill language here is borrowed from a bill by Representative Arata, and it works, I do believe, but the version of the bill that I'll read into record is slightly more comprehensive, and it says records and information, semicolon, confidentiality. Notwithstanding any other provision of law to the contrary, to receive, access or inspect any records and information, including confidential records and information, and any records and information made available to the office that the committee may deem necessary to carry out its responsibility to perform thorough oversight or investigation of any agency or program. Records and information received, accessed, or inspected by the committee are governed by Chapter 21, which governs legislative investigative committees, by Title 1, Chapter 13, which governs public records and proceedings, and by Title 3, Chapter 37, which governs records and information received, accessed, or inspected by the office. The committee shall protect any confidential records and information received, accessed, or inspected pursuant to this subsection in accordance with procedures set forth in Title 1, Chapter 13, Subchapter 1, and Title 3, Chapter 37. The Government Oversight Committee is charged with directing the work of the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability. One of our duties as a committee, if you look at the law that we are seeking to amend, is the duty, of the committee are to provide evaluation of the director of the agency and therefore the work of the agency that the director directs. It's my humble opinion that if the only standing investigative committee in the legislature that has the power to subpoena and the power to put witnesses under oath with a simple majority vote of the committee has no access to confidential records, our hands are tied. We can't evaluate the work of the agency we oversee unless we have access to their work product. So I've heard the concerns and I've seen the testimony opposed to this bill from the department, no surprise there, because it seems to me that there is this idea out there that somehow lawmakers who are political actors won't follow the law. Confidential records that are not handled according to statute are Class E crime. So any member of any committee that might have the ability to access or inspect or receive confidential records must follow the law and has to treat them the same way anyone in the agency that we oversee treats them. I don't hear too much talk about the analysts of OPEGA being folks that may leak something to the press. They're human beings too. I don't think they would. But just because I'm a politician doesn't mean I would. And to think that we would think that of each other is a little bothersome to me, and I'm putting that lightly. And so I think that if we are going to perform oversight, which is one of my favorite things in the world to do, we need access to any of the information, as Senator Timberlake said, that we subpoena. It doesn't matter the department. The Government Oversight Committee has oversight over the whole of state government through the work of the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability. I have some suggestions about some other parts of this statute that may need some review. I didn't present that particular piece of amendment, but I will say that on section 997 of the law, and I can talk to the analysts about this before your work session, there is a subsection one called review and response. And it says, prior to the presentation of a program evaluation under this chapter to the committee by the office, the director of the evaluated state agency or other entity must have opportunity to review a draft of the program evaluation report. That happens before the committee gets to see it. I don't understand that step at all. I think that the department does its work. The agency does its evaluation. It drafts its report. There are other provisions in statute that say when that report can be shared with the office, the legislature, and the public. And that's all about 24 hours after it's shared with the Committee of Oversight, which is the Government Oversight Committee. So I would ask this committee to respectfully review that portion of law. I don't think it's necessary. I think it creates a situation where there could be a editing of the work of OPEGA out of a report before the committee ever has a chance to see it. And even though the law requires that comments from the director, from the agency, be put into the report before we see it, it just seems like an unnecessary step that allows the evaluated agency an opportunity to edit it before the committee ever gets to see it. So I'll leave my testimony there, and I'll be happy to answer any question you have. And I will say that I'm not speaking on behalf of the Government Oversight Committee because we didn't take a vote to endorse this testimony, but I do serve as the Senate chair of it. And I feel handcuffed by the way that the laws are currently written. And I would like to have my hands uncuffed in that role. Thank you for your time and attention.
Anybody have any questions for the senator?
I just want to clarify, and I have in front of me subsection 11. Mm-hmm. That was the reference in addition to the language within the bill. Those are the recommendations that you're bringing forward today.
My amendment to my bill that you have.
Sponsor's amendment.
That right sponsor's here. Amendment. That yes. is a form of language that I would like to see because it talks about not just receiving information, but accessing and inspecting it. And the reason why I think those are two crucial words to include is because I don't need the committee to have ever in its hands confidential information. That sits where it sits. It sits with the department. It sits with OPEGA, if OPEGA in fact has access to those records in its possession. We would be able to inspect it in what Senator Timberlake called an executive session. I think about at the federal level, we have an intelligence committee that oversees our intelligence agencies, and they go down to a SCIF in order to inspect whatever clearance they are allowed to inspect those records under, but they never take possession of those records. And so I didn't want there to be any ambiguity in the statute that the committee would actually receive that confidential information into our possession.
So just to clarify what this would allow you to do using a real-time example of last session, we wanted to see the records of the specific cases from the Office of Child and Family Services that the GOC was denied access to, and even with a subpoena. But this would give the subpoena power and allow access in executive session to those records in real time, to not wait until a different legislative session with a different GOC to go forward and review those records, both access and inspect. In real time, not wait, not subpoena, to be able to get those records in a timely manner.
So I just want to be very, very clear that the answer is sort of yes, but the reason why it's sort of yes is because the provisions that govern how OPEGA must handle confidential records, the committee would also have to abide by. And some of the provisions in that part of statute make it very clear that OPEGA can only handle those records in a way that the departments give permission to. So it might not necessarily be in real time. It could be after some point.
So
it could be after a criminal investigation is completed.
Exactly, after a criminal trial.
Then we would have the opportunity to inspect the work of the department regarding those particular records.
Okay.
But so, we wouldn't have them in real time in that regard.
So, for instance, that was one of the issues, was that OPEGA was able to review those files once the homicide trials had been completed, regardless of outcome. So that would allow, instead of OPEGA, it could actually be the members of the Government Oversight Committee in executive session.
Correct. And I think the reason why that's important, Representative Stover, and I really appreciate the question, is that I'll just speak for myself. I've been in the system. I know how to read a file. And I'm also a writer and an investigator of my own. People don't know that, but I was able to find my biological family because I'm an investigator. And what that means for me is I make connections and I see things other people don't see. It's just the truth of it. And so when I get a report back from OPEGA, where it might be based on the narrative, that I have a lot of questions about a conclusion that's drawn, instead of making a big kerfuffle about that, I could just go look and see myself and talk about that in an executive session so that there would be no conversation in public about something that I might think that they missed. So it keeps everybody protected and we don't question the work product of OPEGA in the public. It would only happen if we were able to inspect those in an executive session and sort of have that internal conversation. Because if we are there to evaluate their work, we need access to their work product so that we can make appropriate evaluation about how they can do what they do better.
Thank you for that clarity. And also always thank you for bringing your own life experience to the table. I think it's important for us to understand that you have a very credible voice because you have lived experience.
Thank you, Representative.
Any other questions for Senator Hickman?
One question, Senator Hickman, and what is OPEGA?
It's an acronym. It stands for the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability, and it's downstairs in the Cross Building. Kind of feels like it's in the basement, even though it's on the ground level. And it is the agency that was established, I believe, maybe 2005, maybe earlier than that, that became the watchdog oversight agency of all of state government. So it is the place where if there are complaints that the legislature brings, a member of the legislature brings, or a complaint that the public may bring against an executive branch agency for some reason that is under the purview of OPEGA, the committee that I Senate chair can direct the department, OPEGA, the agency, to take any number of courses of action to try to get to the bottom of what the complaint might be. So it evaluates, make sure that we're not wasting money. There's an audit component to it. We do tax expenditure reviews. The office has 10 analysts, I think. I can check that on their website. They do all of the work. They are very dedicated people, very intelligent, very analytical. They conduct all of the interviews. They do all of the work, and they bring their report to the committee. And then the committee decides what to do with that report once we receive it.
Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question, Representative.
Representative Reisman.
Good to see you, Senator. Could you tell me the access the average legislator has to OPEGA?
The access the average legislator has to OPEGA is directly through the Committee of Oversight. Okay. So we've changed things a bit over the last few years. If a member of the legislature would like to ask the committee to look into something, it simply writes a letter to the committee and or to OPEGA, and the committee will take it up and see if we want to do anything about the letter that the legislature sent. It used to be that the public could do it directly, but that got a little cumbersome. And so now, even though the public still does reach out sometimes directly to the director, he brings every single request to the committee. And people are educated to take their complaints to their state representative or their state senator. And then you can do it in the Committee of Oversight, or you can bring it directly to the Government Oversight Committee if you don't think that the Committee of Oversight is the place to handle the situation that you've been asked to look into.
Any other questions? I just have one question from the department's
opposition.
Mm-hmm. It says here, the applicable federal law creates functional prohibitions on the disclosure of confidential information. If DHHS discloses information in violation of these federal laws, it risks losing funding critical to the administration of its main child welfare services program. Losing federal funding would debilitate Maine's child protective services. Is that basically a HIPAA regulation?
No, it's an opinion from the department that the Government Oversight Committee receiving this information would violate federal law. Here's why I push back against that, though, since you brought it up, Senator. Thank you for the question. I'm going to look up Title 22. If I can do that, if my computer unfreezes itself. There we go. If you don't mind me doing this.
Federal Title 22.
Yeah, I understand that they're quoting that, but I'm going to also tell you what's in the state law.
State Title 22.
The state Title 22, which is child welfare. For some reason, there we go. So in section 4008 under Child and Family Services and Child Protection Act, under records confidentiality and disclosure, these are the mandatory persons who the department must disclose these exact same records to under circumstances. There are O, A through M. Guardian ad litem, the court appointed guardian ad litem, a court on its finding that access to those records may be necessary for the determination of any issue before court, so to a court, a grand jury, an appropriate state executive or legislative official with responsibility for child protective services. This is actually the crux of the issue here. That is not surplusage. That means something. The courts have determined it doesn't mean any of us. I think that it does. That's why we went ahead and filed the appeal. The Protection and Advocacy Agency for Persons with Disabilities, the Commissioner of Education when the information concerns teachers, prospective adoptive parents, upon written request, a person having the legal authority to evaluate or treat a child, parent, or custodian. Here's I, any government entity that needs such information in order to carry out its responsibilities under law to protect children from abuse and neglect. For purposes of this paragraph, government entity means a federal entity, a state entity of any state, a local government entity of any state or locality, or an agent of a federal, state, or local government entity. I read that one to you because what's interesting to me about it is that an entity of another state is required to have these records disclosed, but not the government oversight committee. So let's just say that that's an interpretation of federal law that I disagree with wholeheartedly.
Okay. And the subpoenas, do the subpoenas have the same weight as a subpoena? So Congress has subpoenas, mm-hmm. right? And apparently they can choose whether or not they want to respond to them. Mm-hmm. Is this a similar type of subpoena, or does this subpoena have the weight of a court or a...
You mean the subpoena from the government oversight committee?
Yes.
Oh, it actually has. It's a compelling thing.
Okay.
And the reason why the departments didn't comply with the subpoena was because exactly of that, mm-hmm. that paragraph you read, where they, in my opinion, misapplied federal law to what it was we were doing here. Again, we are the only standing investigative committee in state government. And so the law, the district court's ruling on the question of the denial of the subpoena centered around a matter of interpretation of subparagraph D, which I read to you early, which is who is the legislative official with responsibility over child protective services. I would recommend that we simply add the word with oversight responsibility, because that clears that right up in that part of statute. My bill makes it clear that anything that we might have to investigate through OPEGA, the committee can see the work product of the agency that we oversee. So it might not be child protective services that's the issue. There might be confidential records or privileged information on another matter that we might want to see, but just because we have the power to see it doesn't mean we'll look at it. It just means that we have access to it and we may inspect it because it informs our work. And I take oversight seriously. And I don't think we can actually do it as thoroughly as we need to do it if we are handcuffed and cannot see confidential or privileged information as a committee.
Okay, thank you. Representative Copeland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much, Senator, for coming and talking to us about this important issue. I have just two quick questions. What if the information was redacted to remove any personal information?
So under the Child Protective Services provision that I didn't read the whole sentence, it actually says that identifying information is supposed to be redacted unless the official needs it to do their job. I don't need to see names of anything in order to see a pattern in a file.
Right. So that's an important.
So that's an important part of the provision in the Child Protective Services statute. And again, the committee, if this bill were to pass, could not treat that information or receive or inspect that information in any other way that is already declared by the department to be what the protocols are for having that information. And so if the department says that a legislative official couldn't see it with the information not redacted, then we couldn't see it with the information not redacted, because we would be the legislative officials who are looking at it for the purposes of reviewing the work of the agency.
I understand. Thank you. And has the AG weighed in on that lawsuit, or are they the ones who are doing it?
The Assistant Attorney General of the department advised them not to comply with the subpoena. So you could say they weighed in.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, Representative Underwood.
question. How would the oversight, government oversight committee, oversight this committee, for example, state and local?
So we have oversight over the agencies of state government. We don't have oversight over the other legislative committees that also have oversight over the agencies of state government. So this committee has oversight over any number of agencies and programs that come before you. We have oversight over those same agencies, but only if there is something that comes to us that this committee doesn't want to deal with, doesn't have time to deal with, or you decide that it's something you want OPEGA to look into, then you would bring that to the Government Oversight Committee. And we would consider voting to ask the department to do it. The other thing about the Government Oversight Committee that I didn't say is that it's unique and that there are six members of both parties. So it's a 12-person committee, which means we can't do anything without bipartisan support. There's no majority party on the Government Oversight Committee. Yes, the two chairs are from the majority party, but the leads are always a part of the decisions that we make. And in the case of the litigation appeal before the law court, the chairs and leads are the litigation subcommittee. So we make all of our decisions about how to deal with this particular case, pretty much in executive session.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question, Representative.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Are there any co-sponsors that would like to speak on LD 1195 or 1725? I guess 1738.
Good afternoon, Senator Nangle and Representative Stover and members of the Joint Standing Committee on State and Local Government. My name is Amy Arata and I represent House District 104, which includes New Gloucester and part of Gray. And I'm here today in support of LD 1725. I take my position on the Government Oversight Committee very seriously. We have a duty as a governing body to hold people and agencies accountable for their actions. In order to do so, we need to have the ability to review certain documents from departments that may obtain privileged information. This bill states that the Government Oversight Committee may receive information and records that are privileged and confidential, and that the information in those records are exempt from public disclosure. There are certain circumstances where this is necessary for our committee to effectively do our jobs. I urge you to vote ought to pass to allow our committee the ability to receive these documents. And yes, I did work with Senator Hickman on this bill. It's completely bipartisan. I don't know if I can really do any better job answering questions than he did. He did a wonderful job, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have that you for me.
So. Are there any questions for Representative Arata?
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Any other co-sponsors? Okay. Seeing none, so we will take public testimony in favor of either 1195 or 1725.
Senator Nangle and Representative Stover, members of the committee. My name is Holly Lusk. I'm a Representative Harpswell. I did not intend to get up to speak on this. I'm here for short-term rentals. I will not be emotional about short-term rentals, I promise you. But about this bill, I am. Some of you may know I served as Governor LePage's health policy advisor and later his chief of staff. When Marissa Kennedy was killed, I was with him when he was briefed on her death. I was briefed by DHHS at the time, by the state police. I saw things as part of that process that I cannot unsee. And I will say that sometimes in state government, in the executive branch, you know, we tend to get a little defensive at times when we feel that, you know, we have not done the best job. But I actually brought Kleenexes because I knew this was going to be a disaster. But but it is important for there to be more eyes than just the executive branch at times like this, because more eyes sometimes can provide more ideas. And I will say that there are patterns that you can see from records. There are processes that sometimes don't make sense. And there are ways in which the legislative branch can be part of the solution That being whether it's coming up with money for a new system of reporting, documenting when you went to go see a family, who you talked to while you were there, whether you saw the child or not. There are all sorts of things that not only might, you know, shed some unfortunate light on the actions that sometimes the executive branch takes, but also on the good things that they do. There were times, I can assure you, where the executive branch, where DHHS was not able to defend itself in situations where it actually did do the right thing. And so from a perspective of trying to involve more people in solving the problem, because this is not a Democratic or Republican issue, I could not say ought to pass any more than I do. I urge you to ought to pass on either one of these bills. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Representative Copeland?
I just want to thank Attorney Lusk for coming in and telling her our truth. That's very impactful. And I'm sorry that you had to witness that horribleness.
I am sorry for the jury that had to deal with that case as well. It was horrible, but justice was absolutely served in the end. So, sorry.
I also want to thank you for being here, Ms. Lusk. It's really nice to see you again. And
the other Holly.
The other Holly. Thank you for your service to the state of Maine.
Absolutely. And short-term rentals, again, will not be as emotional, I promise. So thank you.
For you. Any other questions? Okay, great. Anyone else who would like to testify in favor of LD 1195 or 1725? Seeing none? No one online? Great. Is there anyone who would like to testify in opposition to LD 1195 or 1725? Seeing none. Is there anyone who would like to testify neither for nor against?
Good afternoon, Senator Nangle, Representative Stover, members of the Committee on State and Local Government. I'm Jeff McCabe, the Director of Legislation and Politics for Maine Service Employees Association. We're here today, neither for nor against. We understand that the legislature is seeking answers and trying to find solutions. We come before you with some questions that you've heard a little bit before. I believe the bill sponsor brought up some of these questions. I know that we've had some communication with him as well. We're sensing that the primary purpose of this bill is to, seek certain access to confidential information associated with OCFS databases within Maine Department of Health and Human Services. However, we're trying to understand precisely what privileged information is being sought. As drafted, the bills are broad. And with that, we raise some questions in regards to what privileged documents legislators are seeking via these bills. Would certain identifying information become confidential? Would that include medical information? And then we are also, there was some discussion in regards to what if documents are not kept confidential. And I know the bill sponsor spoke to this specifically. And, it's with the utmost respect for the folks on GOC, including the bill sponsor, that we lift that up. We have encountered in the past where elected officials have sought documents of different nature outside of the realm of GOC. At times that can seem concerning. And we just want the committee to have a thorough conversation about that. And really, today, our offer is to lift these questions up, to work with the committee, to look at any language that you have. I presented the bill as drafted to three of our attorneys who helped come up with these questions. So that's kind of where we come down, and felt bad coming up after Ms. Lusk and speaking, but I thought it was important to just lift these questions. With that, happy to take any questions and happy to work with you all through this process.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. McCabe?
Thank you, Mr. McCabe. You asked some good questions that I think we could dive into in the work session further. I have my thoughts, but I think it might be better if when we go through all of this, if you've spoken to the bill sponsor, I think some of this has been addressed. I understand though the genesis for the concern and the questions. And we're talking about, in most of these cases, the work of state employees. So I understand clearly why it's important for you to understand better what GOC would be doing with the information and how, what would be the recourse if that confidentiality was violated in any way, including employment law, you know, around particular issues with employees. Sorry. So I think we could work on these in the work session and be better prepared to answer.
Thank you. And I wasn't necessarily looking for answers today. I lift them up as you know, and I know, Chair, you have experience and you know, can speak to some of these issues and get the confidentiality piece. And, you know, I believe the sponsor, you know, is well aware of.
I think we can work through these and get to the same place. I really believe that because these are questions that should be answered around confidentiality. These are very, to me, they're the lives of precious children, that we should be able to answer these questions while also respecting the fact that these are, some of these are hardworking state employees. And in some cases, you know, having served on GOC, I think sometimes what we're really seeking here, I'm not speaking for the sponsor, but seeking systemic reform versus looking at targeting any particular employee or any particular wrongdoing. It's really about, in the state of Maine, what are those systemic issues that have led to child maltreatment and child death? We have seen, even last week, the Children's Alliance released their most recent report, stating in that report that Maine has the highest rates of child maltreatment in the country. And I think those are why we have to start asking and pressing for really hard questions. And I look forward to working with you.
Thank you. And I think whether it's this committee or the Health and Human Services Committee or GOC, I think when committees are very clear, concise, and open about conversations, it also sends the right messages to those frontline workers that are doing the important work and that want to see the work get done. So thank you.
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. McCabe?
Thank you all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify neither for nor against 1195 or 1725?
My name's Nate Cloutier. I'm not here on behalf of Hospitality Maine. I'm actually in support of the legislation, but I'm going to come in neither for nor against. I live in Topsom. I was just going to say that if the department's biggest biggest obstacle is being afraid that it's going to lose federal CPS funding, then maybe the analyst can do it, or the committee can direct the commissioner to get a letter from the federal counterparts saying that they would lose that CPS money. Because I don't think, if that is the case, I think it's a technicality. I don't think that's the intent of it. The GOC does need its legislative power to be able to have proper oversight of state agencies. I'm very passionate about children's issues. The fact that we don't have a standalone OCFS department, it blows my mind on its own. But I think getting that clarity from the federal government would be conducive to this conversation. And that is all I got for you.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Cloutier? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to testify neither for nor against? Anyone? Seeing none. Do any committee members have any questions for the analyst? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on LD 1195 and 1725. Okay. LD 1738. An act. Yes.
We have to have been here.
Yeah, he just. So I'm not sure where he is.
Are you going to test? You don't know where he is. Maybe 85.